Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now, here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Well, good Saturday morning, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Mark Tobin, the co-host sitting in the host chair right now. Today is the opening day of teal season, and our fearless leader, Fred Ramsey, Waterfowl Hall of Famer, he is doing what he loves to do best, and that is getting ready to sit in his duck blind and enjoy the opening of the Great Teal War. And sitting in my chair this week, we've got my good buddy and the person that handles all of the duties of our Facebook page, the one and only world-traveling fisherman, Mr. Greg Thompson. Good morning.
Well, good morning. I can't believe I'm sitting in the Tobin throne. It's unbelievable.
Not much to it, is it?
And you've got hors d'oeuvres for me? I mean,
I told Blake I had a surprise for him this week. And just to kind of kick off the opening of the Chiefs season, which is tomorrow, I don't know why I picked what I did, but
I love them.
It is different. I got a plate of turkey fries in here that I got up early this morning and cooked. If you've never had turkey fries, those are the part of a turkey you can only find on a male turkey. And
you never know these days.
So true, so true. It's sad, sad but true. But, oh, my gosh, they're so good. So I mean, just doesn't matter how many cook, there's never enough. But so anyway, Blake is getting our good. I think he's got him. Nope, he doesn't have him. Trying to get a hold of Fred right now, and I know Fred's got better things to do than talk to us. Getting ready, there's some Saturday. Oh, he just. He said, "Call, please." Yeah, okay.
Mark, I was with Fred all day yesterday. I got up there at his house at 5:30 yesterday morning. We went up to Squaw Creek, and he showed me all around, gave me the history, and unbelievable place up there. Unbelievable. And Fred's knowledge of waterfowling in that area was just, I was up there for 6 hours, and it wasn't long enough.
Oh, I know. Well, and that's just his knowledge of that whole area up there. It's fascinating. It's just something everybody should have a chance to do, is spend a day with Fred up there in the St. Joe area, Mound City, and just wealth of information. It's so fascinating.
Yeah, he's full of it.
Did you see any birds?
Yes, we did. We saw lots of animals, and Fred's familiar with all the animals and all the plants up there, and it was amazing. I really appreciated him inviting me up, and I found somebody that likes to hunt more than he does.
That
dog of his, he had to grab that dog to get him to go back. He was not leaving. He loves being over there at Fred's Duck Club. Just loved it.
It's that time of year. It seemed like a long year, but then all of a sudden here it is. And, some Saturdays are a little harder to get out of bed. I don't imagine this was too hard a day for Fred to get out of bed.
I learned just a little side thing. I'm always learning things. So we were driving around to all the different places where they have duck clubs, and we could tell whether their pumps were on and pumping water into their pools, because if they were, the barn swallows were flying around, because the mosquitoes were getting pushed out of the grass, and the barn swallows were up. I thought that cool.
Huh. Well, I would never thunk that.
Ah.
Well, so you just got back from a trip down to, was it Louisiana?
No.
No,
I just got back from Alaska.
Oh, that's right. It's hard to keep track of you anyway. So how was that?
It was an odd trip. It was different than normal. I went to a new place, but I really liked it. It was really deep in the bush. I was off grid. I wasn't roughing it. I was just off grid. No internet, no telephone. Perfect.
Oh.
Loved it. This particular place, the normal run for sockeye is 300,000.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I did not see any chum salmon run. I did not see any king, which is...
That's unusual.
Very few silvers. The sockeye salmon run there this year was 800,000.
Wow.
Three times. I did catch fish, but I had to adapt a little bit. The most fish I caught in a day is 35 or 40, which sounds a little, you know,
sounds
great for here, but...
And salmon, no less.
I've caught Dolly Vardens, I've caught rainbows, silvers.
It was
a fun time. I'll go back. We actually flew into Anchorage, and then I took a Cessna Caravan over to Iliama, which is another cool little odd place. It's a little bitty small town with a nice runway. And they fly cargo into there, and then they distribute it among the villages up above. And there was a 1940 C-46 tail dragger airplane that was a fuel hauler. And their barge hadn't made it up there, so they actually had to fly fuel in on this. I mean, it was antique. It was cool. I had some pictures of it, but it was a fun time. We took a 1947 Beaver, I believe it was.
Cool.
Over to the place about 90 more miles in, and it was really, really interesting. Really enjoyed the trip.
Well, cool deal. Well, finally, we have our partner in crime, the leader, our fearless leader, Fred Ramsey, on the phone with us, I believe. Fred, are you there?
I'm afraid so. How are you doing this morning?
Well, we tried our best to keep you off here, but I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the phone, but...
I called in on a secret line. You know?
Well, I was telling Greg, there's some Saturdays it's hard to get out of bed, and the other Saturdays not so hard. I don't imagine today was a hard day for you to get out of bed, was it?
No, I think I woke up about 3:30 and tossed and turned, and I finally got out of bed at 4. So, you know, just kind of amped up there a little bit. There are not very many teal around, but, you know, it's tradition. The family, Chris is here with me, and Andy's on his way, and we're going to try to whack at one. Who knows?
The dog's not excited at all, is it?
Oh, my God. This dog has run around this cabin 14 times and down in the ditch and up over the back of the tailgate and into the Ranger. Other than that, he ain't got anything to do.
Well, Greg was talking about spending the day with you yesterday. And it really, yeah, I've had the fortune... the good fortune of doing the same thing with you. And you are so much fun. You know so much about that area up there. And it's just so much fun to spend a day with you and get a history of that area up there. Because it is rich with tradition. But you ruined him. Now he's got to come hunting with you next.
I already begged.
I really don't want to be seen in public with him, but that's okay. We'll get back here. It'll be fine.
What are you seeing teal wise?
Oh, there's just a few around. It's still hot. The teal are up in Dakotas. We had that initial wave that went through. I had thousands of them at one time, and they're gone. They're down in Brazil, hanging out on the beach, drinking Mai Tais. I think it's just you know. And there's a lot of clubs. You know, we saw with Greg yesterday. We saw one bunch. I'm going to tell you, it was 100, 150. I don't know if it was, but and then we saw another bunch about the same size. And so these clubs this morning, when it gets legal time, we'll start shooting at them, and they'll roust a few of them out, you know. So it's going to be, you know, the problem we got this year, they've already been lifted off the ground with mosquitoes.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, God. Opened up the door, and I got about 50 of them inside my truck right now, so... But what the heck?
Definitely,
it'll be fun.
Definitely good mosquito weather.
Yeah, you know, I took Greg around yesterday. I don't know if he enjoyed it or not, but we had a good time, or I did. Anyway, we went up and went through all the old duck clubs, and I told him all the history of this and that. And I, you know, as I'm getting older, I look back at things, and Holt County around the Squaw Creek area is just phenomenal, and the history, and you know, the Mickey Mantles, the Roger Maris, the Ted Wims that hunted here, hunted the Walton family here, you know, on the Walmarts, and it's so rich in history. And I was telling those guys yesterday, I said, you know, I've been very fortunate. I've hunted ducks all the way from Dakotas down to the Gulf, and there's just something about this area up here, you know, the Bob Brown area, the Nottoway Valley area. It's just really, if you're a waterfowler, this is probably be the end place for you to be, because it's so unique and different. When the birds are here, they're very deployable and they're fun, you know.
Well, you've had some characters in your blind too. Who was one of the most memorable? I can't remember. Was it Prince from somewhere that?
Yeah, I had Raheel Nana. It was the Prince of Pakistan. I took him one time. But the weirdest one I've had in my blind was Mark Tobin, because it was like Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder, huh? They had Ted Hatfield and you in there. Yeah, we ground a lot of shells, you know.
Yeah.
It's not the game bag, it's the shots fired anyway, you know. So,
that's my motto.
Yeah, you know, adage, you know, at Swan Lake, you still take five shells with you, you know. Well, I don't know what would happen. You guys could only had five shells. I think we'd
That'd have been a quick hunt.
Yeah, you know, real quick on the deal. Five shells weren't much, you know. So, yeah, but that was one of those days that you just get every once in a while, you know. And I took and Trevin and Reed hooked me up with some guys that were the ultimate fighting Marines and SEAL guys and Special Forces guys, and that was one of the most enjoyable days I've had in the blind in years. Those guys had some great stories, and they could really shoot, Mark. They weren't like you.
I can cast good.
Yeah, well, I know it, but that's side point. But them guys right there, I can't remember the guy's name. I think it was Joe. It was there, and I said, man, he mounted up that shotgun, and a couple ducks come in there, and he croaked both of them, and I thought, I said, man, why'd you learn to shoot a gun like that? And he said, a gun's a gun, son, a gun's a gun.
So we got to take a break here pretty quick, but if somebody needs a shed, who do you recommend?
Well, there's only one human left in America that I trust 110%, and that's King City Lumber, and they are phenomenal. They're the greatest people I've ever been around. Marty and Monty Tunk's been running that business, and they get through with your business where they build you an outbuilding. It's done to perfection. The master carpenters, first-rate lumber, kingcitylumber.com. And then the other thing I wanted to real quick about, I ran into a gentleman who just bought a pickup truck over with Trevin Reed at Reed Chevrolet up in St. Joe. And he said not only did they have better prices, he said they treated me with the ultimate respect. And he said, I will never, ever buy another truck anywhere else but with Reed. And he had a comparable. He had bought a used one that was a 20, but he said I compared on the price. So he'd been to two other dealerships, had something similar to each one, he said, but he said it was about $3,200 cheaper.
Wow.
So that's such a savings on the deal. So, you know, they're just that Reed family, and I just can't say enough good things about them. And they got a lot of dealerships in Kansas City. You'll see their shingle hanging out in front of their business now, and if you go to their store, you get dignity and respect. And in my age and difference and old, but gosh darn, that means an awful lot to me.
Well, even if it wasn't for the fact that you save that much money, it's still such a pleasant experience to buy there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those salespeople are non-commissioned, and there's no pressure on them. They don't put any pressure on you. They just help you buy a vehicle.
Yeah, they just never sell you one, help you buy one. That's what
right.
they always say, and that's exactly right. So I've got to take a break, huh?
Yep, hang on. We'll be right back with you. And this is Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back. Good Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm Mark Tobin along with Greg Thompson in studio, and joining us on the phone, getting ready to enjoy the opening of teal season, is our fearless leader, Mr. Fred Ramsey. Fred, I know you've been out there getting ready for the teal season, but have you been playing with your SARS guns?
Yes, I did. I wanted yesterday. I forgot. Greg was with me. I was going to shoot a couple hundred rounds through him. I just flat forgot, because I think he'd really enjoy that. Those guns function so well. I like the ad they're running now. They shoot 150,000 rounds through the pistol in their factory with non-failure. You know, and you know the best thing about SARS is they've got a pistol that fits anybody. You know, if it's a woman you need a protection, put one in your purse, or a guy that got to carry one on a security detail where they don't want to carry a lot of weight around, I don't blame them. SARS is the only way. Plus, not only do they function, they look stylish. They are very economically on your billfold, so they're They're just a great, great pistol. I can't say enough good things about them. I'm reading all the reviews online. Man, are they, they're stealing the show. They're the number one gun right now, I think, in the United States for consumption. So they're really, really doing good on the deal. Marcus, teal season, a little heads up for everybody. The teal season starts at sunrise, not in regular duck season. It starts 30 minutes before sunrise. It starts at sunrise so you can identify the duck. And teal are very hard to identify other than their speed and their wing beat. And if the wood ducks, what we call squarebacks, and if you'll see a wood duck, it looks like somebody trimmed these feathers, squared them off at the back. Looked like Mo Howard, you know, he's cut his hair, you know.
Right.
So they, that's how you identify them, and you got to be very, very, very careful on the deal. So it ought to still be a pretty good teal season. We've got some weather coming in Tuesday and Wednesday, so maybe it'll turn around a little bit. The birds are north of us. There's no doubt about it.
Hey, how do you identify between the teal and the small mosquitoes you have there?
They're both the same size.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. You know, we were talking on the way up here, and Chris was with me, and we were driving up this morning. I said, you know, we kind of forget every once in a while. Teal are the finest eating duck there is.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing we make. Chris makes a jalapeno pepper wrap type thing with them, with the breast. And I tell you, eat one, you want to eat 20 of them. And they're something. They eat weed seed only. And they just taste so much better than any other duck that you can harvest. So we're kind of hoping we'll get some today and fire them on the grill and watch the Missouri Tigers play football here this afternoon.
That's
so,
a good day. Good day,
yeah,
right there.
Really, really is a good day. So what the hey, you know. Greg, what did you think of Holt County?
Oh, my goodness. I was telling Mark before you came on, I could have spent another day there. The things that you – Marlon Perkins had a place there.
Yeah,
I mean, the guy was all over the world, yet he was in Holt County, Missouri.
Yeah, and you think about Ted Wims, Mickey Mantle, Roger Maris. I mean, they all came here and hunted in Holt County, you know, and had the Prince of Pakistan, you know, Raheel. Nanda. We had a Wesley Richards shotgun. And we were sitting there in the blind. And I was looking at that gun. I said, you know what? I said, that gun's worth more than this whole duck club.
Tom Watson. You said Tom Watson had a place up there.
Tom's got a place. We pulled right up there almost to his pump and looked around a little bit. But he's got a really nice place there. I'd like to play him in golf once. I think I
could win. Yeah, right.
You better stick to your hunting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, anyway. But anyway, he's got a really nice place up there. And you know, it's just club after club after club up here. And I kind of like to, and I've got a lot of listeners that will be listening this morning in this area. Take a kid hunting this year. There's a lot of these guys. The guys are getting long in the tooth. Hell, I'm 70, and a lot of these guys are older than I am and own these duck clubs, you know, where they could stop and take a kid hunting. And I really want to encourage them to do that. I'm hooking up with a graduate student out of Missouri Western College this year. He's never duck hunted in his life. And
wow, cool.
I thought, you know, that's I really want to take that guy and show him. The only downfall of that is that some of those guys put a gun in their hand, they don't understand true safety of a shotgun. So, you know, that bothers me a little bit, but I put them in a position to my immediate right where they swing that barrel around, I can control that and give them a reprimand. But it we've got to get more people out here. The duck stamp sales are eroding like crazy, and hunters are going away, and they, kids can now shoot ducks on their computer, you know, on a game, and it's just, it's not, there's nothing like that cup of coffee and a cold morning with a bunch of mallards working their decoys, and until somebody understands that, they're missing part of their life, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh. All right. Well, we're just about ready to – oh, you know, the only thing that could have made your day a little bit better, Fred – I mean, you've got I know you've got a good one lined up here, but the only thing that could have made it better is if you were here today with us, because I made some turkey fries to kick off the opening of the cheese season. I don't know why I picked turkey fries to do that, but I figured that our cracked board operator, Blake, I didn't figure he'd probably ever had them before, so he'll remember, hopefully, the opening of this season. You know, hopefully it's going to be another march to a third straight Super Bowl. So you'll remember it started with turkey fries.
Yeah, exactly. today's Jim Mish Day, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's the...
John Mish, isn't it?
Well,
John is the brother, right?
Right. And the Memorial Scholarship Fund is occurring today. You know, I had a break-in in my truck and didn't realize till this morning that my briefcase was one of the things that got stolen. Has all of my notes, all of my phone numbers that I've had all the years that we've been doing the radio show. Uh-huh. Had my headphones in there. Nothing of any value, but... Sure was aggravating. For 20 minutes this morning, I ransacked our vehicles and our house trying to find it. And I figure it must have been taken with some of the other stuff that got taken. Yeah. But I just didn't realize. We didn't do the show last week. We did a rerun. And so I didn't realize until this morning. But
Shame. Well, I'm sure it'll show up mysteriously.
Yeah.
Hey, I'd like to put this out to our listeners. We find out about a lot of these great charity events after or during when they're going. If you all got a great charity event that has to do with outdoors and kids, drop us a line. I'm not going to promise we can get every one of them on the radio, but we'd sure like to have some. The fellow we got in the second half of the show, he's at a charity event right now, and talk about a cool deal. They're going to play golf one day, they're going to shoot sporting clays one day, and they're going to fish one day, and then determine the winners.
Yeah, how fun.
That'll be fun on the deal, so... It's going to be a weird year, I can tell you right now. It seems like it's staying too warm too long, and I don't know. And then the duck hatch in some areas down 77%, you know. But the average mean, the number of ducks is still at record levels. I wouldn't doubt if we have one more drought year, we don't go what we call moderate program, where we go back to 45 days. I've been in the season where we only had a 30-day duck season. But win every day, but it could be the possibility, not to alarm anybody, but you might be looking at a 45-day season if we have one more year of drought. But who knows? You know, I see it's going to rain in North Dakota today and tomorrow, so that's step A. You know, you could get some rain over there, so maybe it'll turn around a little bit and things will look better down the road here, I hope, anyway. So we'll find out.
Well, you've got funner things to look forward to than talking to us right now, so go get after it.
All right, kid. Good talk to you guys.
Well,
thanks, Fred.
Don't feed or water, Greg. He'll just stick around if you do. So.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, kid.
We'll have fun today. I'll look forward
buddy.
To a report. Call me when
All
you
right,
can.
All right, kid. Okay, kid. Bye.
Quick comment, Mark. Shout out to Ryan Harmon. He messaged me yesterday to see if this was the only time that the program was on. I told him about podcasts. Uh-oh. So apparently we have four listeners.
Well, what the heck?
Unbelievable.
Well, joining us on the phone right now from the Sports Medicine Store, we have Bud Gordon. How you doing, Bud?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Great. So you have done something for me that nobody else was able to do, and that is let me walk pain-free. And I've got horrible feet. I'm flat foot. My feet pronate out. I wore out the joints on my big toes, had bunionectomies, had orthotics made by podiatrists, you know, $1,200 and $1,400 a pair. And those were horrible. I tried the things that you see on TV and here on the radio, the arch supports. And just for me, it just didn't do any good. And your custom insoles are the only thing that I've had that helped my feet. And why is that? Why is it that what you make is better than anything else that I've tried? And I've tried everything else out there.
Mark, there are numbers of people that know what they're doing, and probably 90% of the people in this business really don't. A lot of it's just a scam. But if you go to a good orthotist, prosthetist, somebody who builds artificial legs, things like that, they understand the way God built the foot. And it's critical when you go to make a custom insole that you understand exactly the biomechanics of the foot. In your foot, there's not one arch. Everybody thinks you have a single arch, and you look down at your foot, and you say, either I'm flat-footed or I'm not flat-footed. Well, that's one of the arches, and that's one-third of the arches. So you have three. You have that one that you can see down there, and that's called a transverse. Then you have one that runs towards the middle of your body and the outside of your body that runs the full length. So anybody that knows what they're really doing when they go to fix your foot, like we've done for you, they position that foot in a term called sub-tailor neutral. When we align all three of those arches up correctly, there's 26 bones down there, there's 33 moving joints. I mean, it's really sophisticated the way God built that foot. So to get the foot to work correctly from the time your heel strikes, your toe lifts off, it's got to be positioned in sub-tailor neutral. A, you can only do that with a full-length one. You probably had three-quarter ones in your life, which are just worthless, okay,
right.
No matter what you paid for, because there's no way they can line all three arches up. Then it has to be strong enough that it doesn't bottom out. A lot of the stuff that you go to a drugstore or a discount store, if you'll take one of those packages off the shelf, Mark, and just take your thumb and reach in there and push where the arch is, they'll bottom out. If you can do that with your thumb, your 100 pounds will probably do more than that, you think?
Yeah.
Okay, which means they're completely, totally worthless, even if they're full length. So to get one to work the way we've got yours to work in the last probably 8 or 10 years is you notice when we build them, we move your knee around, your hip around, and your foot until it's in subtalar neutral. Then we mold it. Each one of your feet are completely different. Your right, your left are as different as your fingerprint. So you've got to do it correctly for both feet. And with that, you put your shoes on, and you can go to work for 10 hours doing Milan's. Okay? Without that, you're in pain.
Right, absolutely.
Is that complicated or is that simple?
Do you have any young people that come in that need these?
Very few unless they're super athletes, okay? We see a lot of little girls that are probably 7 to 13, and they're playing soccer. And they've got serious shin splints. Almost every one of those girls are pronated or flat-footed, almost 99% of them. And the doctors will send them in, or their physical therapist send them in, for what they call an Osgood-Schlatter brace, which is something that kind of controls the ligaments and stuff in your leg. Got nothing to do with it, okay? We put their little foot in a subtalar neutral. We mold custom insoles, put them in their shoes. They're back out on the field without any pain that day. They've been crying for 1 or 2 or 3 years. So those children we see quite a bit are super athletes, but most people that come in and see us for a problem called plantar fasciitis. And to do that, they're probably from their late 20s into their 90s, okay? And that's a tear in the bottom of the foot, which you know all about.
Right.
So we put the foot in subtalar neutral, which positions it correctly, and they heal. But we get people that come back. Oh, they've moved to other parts of the country, to Florida or California or whatever. They're back there visiting friends or family. They'll come in and say, "Bud, we've tried it in other places. They don't work. Can you make it fair before I go home?"
Wow, cool.
So that's because we just build them correctly.
Well, for people that want to get their feet out of pain, how do they get a hold of you? And do you still have the Mark Tobin special going on?
I have the Mark Special Tobin going on. It'll last through the end of this month. Our normal price is just around $300, which is about half the price for true custom, maybe even less than half the price. So for the rest of this month, it would be $200. Sounds like a lot, except for the last of the rest of your life. So it's actually probably the cheapest thing you'll ever buy for your health care. If they want to reach us, they can contact me at 9738 Warnell, and we'll be there today from 9 till 2. And during the week, they can come down and find us from 9 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon, Monday through Friday. So if they have any questions, come in, see us. You had several people come in from St. Joe this week. Okay?
Cool. Give me that phone number.
One had come in last week from the show, and she had plantar fasciitis. The husband was skeptical. He wanted to see if they worked. Well, they did work, so he came back yesterday and got his. Hang on a second here.
Are you still there?
I am. Hang on here. For anybody that wants to come and reach us, they can find us on the website, which is thesports, which is plural, SPORTS, MedicineStoreKC.com, and they can see exactly how we make these insoles. If they want to contact us, they can reach me during the day at area code 816-859-5440. Did I say that slow enough? Toby says I say it too fast.
816-859-5440.
Yours was louder and better. You did a better job.
All right. All right. Thank you. You have a good weekend.
Day.
All right, bud. Bud
Bye-bye.
Gordon, Sports Medicine Tour. And we got to take a quick break. We're running a little long. We're going to be joined after the break with Mark Murrell. He's the director of the Kansas Wildscapes, former biologist with the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks. We'll visit with him right after this. Good Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm Mark Tobin along with Greg Thompson, and our host Fred Ramsey he's out in his duck blind now, getting ready to enjoy the opening of teal season. And joining us on the phone, we have a former biologist with the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks. He's now the director of Kansas Wildscapes, now that he's retired and now he doesn't have any time. He's Mark Merle. Mark, how are you doing, my friend? Thanks for getting up and being with us.
Hey, you bet. It's great to be here, and I appreciate your time. I'm sitting up here in a camper at Acorns Resort. We've got a fundraiser going on Milford Reservoir and getting ready to kick off a day of fishing and shooting sporting clays. So we're doing pretty good here.
Well, how fun. What's the fundraiser about?
The fundraiser is just to raise some money for our programs and projects. Yesterday, it's called the Kansas Outdoor Classic. Yesterday, I had 10 teams, four guys each showed up. They played golf yesterday. We had a auction and everything last night and dinner, and today we fish and shoot sporting clays and then kind of wrap things up this evening with some awards. So it's been something they've done in the past, and last year we didn't do it due to COVID, and so this year I was wanting to kick it off to kind of showcase Kansas and what we've got.
Well, how cool. I love fishing on Milford. I haven't been there in a while. What are you hearing on fishing over there right now?
It's pretty good. If they get a little wind and some movement, they said they're catching a lot of wipers, white bass, that sort of thing. Blue cats are going pretty good. I've seen a lot of blue cat boats. Of course, Milford is probably one of the best known blue cat fish lakes in the Midwest, if not, you know, the entire country. So
right.
Fishing's pretty good.
I hate it when the fish are biting and I'm here talking on the radio. That just drives me crazy.
And Fred's out. Where's he teal hunting? So
yeah.
Well, that's his excuse.
Yeah,
that's an excuse. I got buddies at Cheyenne Bottoms right now, and they'll be sending me pictures here shortly once it gets light.
I've got a nephew whose son wants to be a wildlife biologist, and he's going to KU University right now.
Mm-hmm.
What does a wildlife biologist do?
Well, they do a lot of things, and actually my degree from, I went to Kansas State, and I won't hold it against him that he's going to KU, because I just sent one of my twin boys there, but anyway, my degree was in fisheries and wildlife biology, and depending on your, you know, one side or the other, obviously you work with fish with one wildlife biologist, work with a lot of private landowners and public lands and things to basically improve, you know, improve habitat for wildlife. That's what it gets down to is, you know, you kind of the mentality, if you build it, they will come. Working with landowners to try and, you know, do the things that they want to do with their crops and money-making projects, and then also try and benefit wildlife. So they do a lot of different things. A lot of education goes on, that sort of thing. Of course, our fisheries guys, they guys and gals, they, you know, take care of the reservoirs and also work with private landowners or farm pond owners. And, you know, both those entities administer, you know, the walk-in hunting area program, which has over 1 million acres of private land that's open for public access. And then the fishing impoundment stream habitat program is still going strong in Kansas. So they get to work with a lot of that as well.
What was the most enjoyable part of that for you?
I think I was involved in our Pass It On program since about 2000. I was with Kansas Wildlife and Parks for 32 years and started out of K-State after spending a couple years in North Carolina working for the Wildlife Resources Commission down there. But I think in about 2000 we started the Pass It On program, and that's an effort to introduce youngsters to outdoor activities like hunting, fishing, shooting, that sort of thing, and as well as older adults that had never been exposed to it. And so seeing that, you know, we had some deer hunts and turkey hunts that some of our biologists and folks set up that we were involved with for, you know, 20 plus years when I left, and they're still going strong. So just seeing the, you know, smiles on some of those kids' faces that really didn't, you know, get that exposure. Maybe their parents didn't hunt, or their single parent families, or whatever the case might be. It was just rewarding to see the joy and excitement they got from, you know, when they got their first turkey or their first deer.
Cool, much needed. You know, it seems that here in the last several years, there's been a decline in hunter involvement. Have you seen any changes in that? You know, with COVID, it seems more people were getting involved in the outdoors. Are you seeing any kind of reverse in that trend, or is it still kind of a downward trend for hunter involvement?
Well, as far as in Kansas, we were fortunate even prior to COVID that our downward trend wasn't as drastic as they saw in some other states. But So we were kind of, you know, staying fairly steady. But when COVID kicked in, just last year alone, I was looking at some numbers. You know, it kind of kicked off in March and got pretty serious. And then April and May, fishing license sales increased like 42%.
Wow.
Just that 2 month time period. We had state park camping sites, you know, just primitive sites, tent only, that probably hadn't seen a tent in 20 years that were full almost every weekend. So people flocked to our parks. They flocked to fish. You know, during the hunting season, we still had lots of activity from hunters. And we had a few from out of state, you know, whether they were on the quarantine list or whatever, that had to cancel some plans. But overall, we saw a marked increase of participation in outdoor activities. And a lot of them, you know, going to the parks and some of our wonderful state park cabins, which Wildscape was involved in, you know, back in the day when they got those first going. You know, I think people just wanted a bit of a reprieve from the hectic, you know, news and things that were going on. And so people just flocked to the outdoors.
Hey, you skimmed over that cabin project. I think you need to elaborate a little bit about what your foundation did on that.
Right. And, you know, Wildscape, Greg, is a private nonprofit foundation set up by former Kansas Governor Mike Hayden, who also served a couple terms as Secretary of Wildlife and Parks. And so in 1991, Mike set up the foundation basically to provide public outdoor opportunities for all Kansans. You know, we've seen a need for people to want that experience to get outside, whether it's camping, fishing, or hunting. And Wildscape was set up to do that. And one of their landmark projects initially was they had a gentleman by the name of Bud Walker. He's deceased now, but Bud was a big proponent of our state parks and cabins and that. So Wildscape was involved in 73 of the first cabins, either financing or construction-wise, to help get those going. And now Linda Lannerman and the crew in the state park system division have done a great job taking care of all those. They've got more plans for some others and in different areas, but they're spread out all over. You know, I think we're up to 28 different state parks now, and so they've got cabins that sleep, you know, anywhere from 2 to 4 and some small ones on up to 6 or 8 with all the amenities of home. So people that either don't have a camper, don't have a tent, or wanted to just try it can get out and do it. And, you know, and they're reasonably priced. And those, again, like I said, last year due to COVID got incredibly popular. They were popular prior to that. You know, you had to probably book a year in advance. But,
wow.
You know, they just, that's one of the earmark programs or landmark programs that Wildscape did to kind of kick things off. And that was one that's probably most notable.
You used low security inmates to build those, part of those, didn't you?
Some of those, yeah. They had inmates working at the correctional facilities. Then they contracted some of that out, even worked with some other private enterprise. So they kind of spread it out. But back in the day in the state park system, we used to use inmates quite a bit, and things kind of changed with either rules or regulations or, you know, access or whatever, that they don't use them quite as much as they used to. But they were a big help because our state park system used to get a lot of general fund money, or used to get a fair amount of general fund money, and today really doesn't get a lot. And so, you know, the whole agency as a whole is fee funded, and so they make their money off license sales, and state parks get some general fund money, but they make a mountain out of a molehill as far as their budget goes, and do some great things.
I had no idea about this cabin program. I live in Missouri, but what a great thing. And it's been around for a while. Do you close down the cabins during the winter?
Oh, no. And that's some of those are probably the most popular times, because we get you know, pheasant hunters, upland bird hunters coming from all over the country, deer hunters, and even anglers, you know, some of our more popular crappie reservoirs, you know, Toronto, Fall River, some of those. We get guys that come in and they'll stay a week at a time just to winter crappie fish. So they've been really popular. There's probably twice that many now. I think they're up to 130, 140, and looking at adding a few more here. And Wildscape's going to see if we can get involved in that as well. But that was, yeah, like I said, one of the first things they did. Other things they did, gentlemen, is helped with Milford, some fundraising for the Milford Wetland Project. We've got a couple youth programs, one called OK Kids. It's outdoor for Kansas kids, and basically I give entities, state parks, rec centers, places like that, anywhere from a $100 to $500 grant to pull off an outdoor event where they have kids come out to their area and do fishing clinics or archery tournaments or BB gun or, you know, things like that in from April to September or so. And we've got, you know, we've raised probably a couple hundred thousand dollars for that project over the years with some great sponsors, the McElwain Foundation, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Capital Federal, you know, some private donors. We've got a Wildlife for Challenge online that was pretty popular last year that kids can go and sign up and try and do these activities, basically to get kids off the couch and that sort of thing. And more recently, since I started in March, Wildlife and Parks did a great Kansas fishing derby, and they tagged fish, 500 fish in 35 different locations and offered prizes for those things. And just to kind of maintain that interest that was created last year, and that went over really well. So those are, you know, just a few of the things that I've been working on as well. We're looking at some big fishing clinics, you know, trying to raise some money for some of those things, working with some colleges and some junior colleges on some shooting programs for kids. Or,
cool.
And I call them kids. They're obviously adults, but working on some of those things as well.
Well, he is Mark Merle, director of Kansas Wildscapes. I'm sure fundraising has got to be just a huge part of what you do to fund all of these really worthwhile programs. Do you have any other events coming up this year, and how can people get involved with you?
They can check out our website at kansaswildscape.org, and we do have, since Wildscape is 30 years old this year, we're trying to kick off the last few months here, kind of an end-of-the-year thing. A 30 for 30 campaign is what we're calling it. We'd like to raise $30,000 or substantially more, you know, for 30 years of existence to use in some of these other programs that we've talked about. Then go to the website, check it out, and donate. We hope to see some competition between some of our Kansas City folks and some of our Wichita folks. We've got a board that kind of governs Wildscape. We're going to try and get them active after a little bit of a hiatus, you know, due to COVID and in-person meetings and that, and kind of get things ramped back up and headed in a positive direction. We've been just kind of holding steady and doing some great things, and hopefully get some other things coming up.
What's the website?
It's kansaswildscape.org.
Mark, I've already posted it on our website, Midwest Outdoor Sports Radio on Facebook, and I hope that you keep our number. And next year when you're doing these things, get a hold of us ahead of time. We'll help you promote these great ideas and great things you're doing.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. We, like I said, we've got teams from the Kansas City area all over the state that have come here. We've had 10 teams scheduled. One team couldn't make it, but the guys that are here, you know, they eat well, they shoot, they have a good time, you know, share stories, make a lot of contacts, and, you know, just experience Kansas outdoors. So,
you know, Fred and I have talked before, and this goes back to your days with the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks. And, you know, if you talk to people that hunt and fish and are in the know, you ask them where they want to go to get a good trophy buck, it's Kansas. You talk to people that want to catch wipers, Kansas. People that want to go walleye fishing, Kansas. If you want to get pheasant or quail, where do you go? Kansas. You've done so much with, it seems, a much more limited budget than other departments do. How do you do this? Why is Kansas such a success?
Well, I think, you know, Wildlife and Parks has a lot of dedicated employees and people. You know, state agencies or state employees sometimes get a bit of a bad rap for being, you know, government employees on the tax roll, but Wildlife and Parks is fee-funded. You know, and it's a cheap date, if you will. You know, I used to work at the Kansas State Fair, and we'd do a price increase for a license or something, and people would complain about it, but for an entire year's worth of activities or fun for $27.50 for a hunting license or a fishing license, you know, it's tough to beat. And you're right, Mark, Kansas is a wonderful destination. I've traveled from northern Quebec to southern Texas and everywhere in between. When I get back home, you know, I love going other places and seeing and doing other things. But all those things you mentioned, waterfowl hunting, everything else, you know, we've got some great resources managed by an organization. Most of those people, they're not getting rich, but they're really passionate about what they do, and they care about what they do, and they like to see people have a good time.
Well, you're awesome. It's great to talk to you. I want to get more involved and get our listeners involved with Wildscapes, the Kansas Wildscapes. Once again, how can people get more information about what you do?
They can check us out online at www.kansaswildscape.org. My phone number is listed there as well. If anybody's got any questions, they can certainly give me a call. We'd be glad to help them out. They can look at some of those programs, the OK Kids events. We're always looking for donors and willing to talk to people that have projects in mind that, you know, maybe they have some money that they'd like to earmark for something like that. And that's probably the best way to just check that out and then go even further if they want to give me a shout.
And what about the state park cabins? How can people get information on that and possibly book a trip?
Right. They can get on the Wildlife and Parks website. It's ksoutdoors.com and check it out. And like I said, there's cabins at almost every state park. They're working on some more. You want to do that as much in advance as possible. Weekends are booked probably a year in advance, and they've been popular. So they can check those out and reserve those online.
Well, that's just so cool. Well, Mark, thanks for being with us this morning, and thanks for taking a little time before your fundraising event today. And are you going to be able to fish?
I won't. I'll be coordinating everything, but it's just as much fun to see those guys come in and see what they've got. And they do the five-stand sporting clays, switch that out. And, you know, it's just fun seeing people enjoy the outdoors. And so other than the heat, we're doing real well, but it's Kansas for you. So we just deal with it like everybody else does. So
well, Mark Merle, director of the Kansas Wildscapes, thanks for being with us. And I look forward to visiting with you much more in the future.
You bet. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, Mark. Take care. Well, that was quick.
That was a great show. That's a great guy. Thanks, Brent Frazee, for hooking us up with that guy.
Yeah, well, and really check him out. Check out the Kansas Wildscapes. They donate a lot of money to a lot of very needed causes.
Absolutely. But absolutely.
Thank you for setting that up, and thank you for being here today.
I always enjoy coming in. It's even better. Yeah, hopefully Fred's having a good morning, too. I know he's having a good morning, whether he shoots or not.
Yeah, well, go Chiefs, season opener tomorrow. Good luck, and let's make another Super Bowl run, shall we? Sounds good to me.
Goodbye, everybody.
Have a great week.